Quick, name an all-woman rock band. The Go-Go's? Okay. The Bangles? Sure. The Runaways? Absolutely. And before all of them was the band Fanny. Who, you may ask? Fanny was a band of women who played their own instruments and rocked hard in the early 70s. They put out records, played in concerts, opening for huge bands, appeared on TV, and then were gone. The story of the band's rise and disappearance from the scene is told in a movie screening Thursday night at the outdoor in-person run of the Ashland Independent Film Festival. Fanny, The Right to Rock includes three original members of the band reuniting. Our guests include Bree Darling, drummer in Fanny. Don't have Bree yet. Okay, Bobby Jo Hart is the director of Fanny, The Right to Rock. She's here. Bobby, welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
And Richard Herskowitz is back with us once again, of course, the artistic director of the Ashland Independent Film Festival. Richard, welcome back.
Thanks, Jeff.
So this is the big week. There's 4 days, right, of outdoor events for the Ashland Independent Film Festival. First time ever.
5 days. Yes, the first time ever. It's part two of our two-part 20th anniversary film festival. The first part was 2 weeks in April. That was all virtual. And this one is all live and outdoors.
All right. So, what is the plan specifically for Thursday night and the showing of Fanny, The Right to Rock?
Yeah, it's our opening night, so we planned a spectacular kickoff. The night is going to begin. Well, we have food trucks out at Science Works, and then live music. The live music will include Bree Darling of Fanny playing with her partner Dave Darling. They're coming up from California for this event and to introduce the film. But then preceding Fanny, we're going to show a 30-minute film by Lainey Dacchino, who won our Lee Fuchsman Local Filmmaker Award this year. She made a 30-minute film about the Rogue Valley Symphony and their activities during the pandemic, playing for first responders. And before that 30-minute film, we are going to have the Rogue Valley Symphony performing outdoors two fanfares that they created for the occasion. The first one is a fanfare honoring AIFF on its 20th anniversary, and the second one will be in honor of Lainey, the filmmaker, a local presence for many years, an important person in the local film community.
All right, so let's move over to Bree, Bobby Jo Hart. Bree Darling, we're having a little trouble getting a hold of right now. Bobby Jo Hart is the director of Fanny, The Right to Rock. It's funny, I've watched a fair number of midnight specials in the 70s when that show was on. Never heard of this band. Talk about your interest in Fanny.
Yeah, exactly. I think when most people discover Fanny, it's a combination of awe and frustration, and I was no different. I was about 5 years ago or so. I was on a Taylor guitar website, looking for an acoustic guitar for my at that time 12-year-old daughter who's really into music, and I saw a menu selection called Stories, and being a documentary filmmaker, I was very drawn to that. And I clicked on Stories and scanned down through different people that apparently were some of the people that used their guitars. And then I came across this huge photo of this woman with this flaming gray hair, and then just like the way she was just like playing and holding this guitar, and her mouth was open, and she was just like really rocking out. And it turned out to be lead guitarist of Fanny, June Millington. And I read down through the story, and then near the bottom, I believe it was this quote by David Bowie. An excerpt from a quote, I should say, "Revivify Fanny and I will feel that my work is done." And just from reading all of the description of the band and, the fact they released five critically acclaimed albums between 70 and 75, like you, I thought, how did I not know them? I grew up in California, Southern California in the 70s. I was born in 66, so I was at an age where I was listening to my parents' LPs on the turntable, and there was the Rolling Stones or Steely Dan or Fleetwood Mac and et cetera, et cetera, Joni Mitchell. But on the piles of LPs that we had at home, there was never one on Fanny. And I was really, I'd say in the past 25 years since I started making documentary films, that feeling of excitement and frustration, I think, has driven the narrative of my choices of films because I really enjoy, you know, underdog stories. I really enjoy untold stories and helping bring them to light in the greater collective of our society. And so I immediately contacted the band. I got in touch with the drummer, Alice DeBuer, and June Millington was the first one that I could actually speak to. And she was open to the idea, had been approached by different people before, but had an openness. But it took, I think, over a year before we actually started filming because I was waiting. I really wanted something to happen in the present day that could help, you know, give some perspective to the backstory. Instead of it being a retrospective of what how amazing this band was, I really was hoping that there could be something with a forward momentum arc to help us celebrate them now. And then about a year later, my daughter and I, she was really upset with the election results 4+ years ago and really woke up crying, I must say. And so when my I talked to my sister, who has a niece the same age as my daughter, and I saw the advertisements or the announcements for the Women's March on Million Women March on Washington on the day of the inauguration, and we decided to go. We literally jumped on planes. We found some Airbnb in a basement, and we were there. You know, our daughters were climbing trees and overlooking the big, huge screen. And at one moment, Madonna happened to be up there. There was all kinds of incredible people, including Kamala Harris. That was one of the speakers at that day. And right behind Madonna, I see on the jumbo screen this woman holding a camera, and she's looking around. And then she takes the camera down. I look, and I said, "Oh my gosh, that's June Millington of Fanny standing behind Madonna." So I'm trying to call her, and I finally get a hold of her. And then, you know, just matter-of-factly, when I finally get her on the phone that night, she says, "Oh, yeah, guess what? We've been offered a new rock record deal. We're getting together in 3 weeks to record it." So you can now imagine the rest of the story. It's, you know, hurry up, hurry up. Just scrambling to get things together, and literally met the band and started filming the day that they started to record that new rock album.
Wow, and that
and
is
here we are.
Yeah, here we are. The film is called Fanny, The Right to Rock. Screens after dark Thursday evening at Science Works in Ashland, part of the 5 days of outdoor activities for the Ashland Independent Film Festival. We have Bobby Joe Hart, the director of the film, with us. We're trying to get a hold of Bree Darling, the drummer, one of the drummers for the band, who is going to be at the event in person playing some music. Richard Herskowitz is with us, the artistic director of the Ashland Independent Film Festival. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Maybe you have some memories of Fanny that you want to share with us. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. And if you're sitting there thinking, wait a minute, this name sounds vaguely familiar. Okay, so an all-woman band. I mean, how well could they play? I can't do them justice in less than a minute, but here's a clip from Fanny from back in the day. Yeah, it's impressive work on both vocals, instrumentals, everything. June Millington there on lead slide guitar and lead vocals. So, I mean, Bobby, you only have to look at a couple of clips to realize these guys could really rock.
Absolutely. I mean, they were a self-formed garage band in the 1960s in Sacramento area. You know, two Filipino-American sisters that met up with some other gals in the area. And at one point, including Filipino-American Bree Darling, who we're trying to get a hold of this morning. And then other band members, Alice DeBuer was the drummer that ended up signing with the label and was with them for many albums. And at one point, Patty Quatro replaced June Millington when she left the band. Not unlike a lot of bands that have, you know, that have certain morphs of bandmates mm-hmm. in and out. But what was consistent was their dedication to to their music and how expertly they played their instruments. I mean, their band home, as you'll see in the film, you know, affectionately known as Fanny Hill. I mean, that was in the Hollywood Hills. It was in Gila Mars, you know, who had previously owned the home. And, you know, Bob Dylan's The Band would hang out there, Bonnie Raitt, Little Feat. I mean, it was just a band home like any band home, but it happened to be an all-women band. But they worked so hard. They played their instruments so hard. They trained so hard to get better. They wrote their own songs. It's just, you know, in the quote that quote from David Bowie, I actually got a copy of that Rolling Stone magazine because I wanted to see it for myself. Mm-hmm. And he had the choice. You know, Rolling Stone, it was their December 1999 millennial issue, and he had a choice. You know, he was offered a pull quote, as they say, at that box in the middle of the page. For those of you that don't know what a pull quote is, he kind of pulls it out of the article.
To showcase one quote, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was offered, you know, each person, all these different famous people were interviewed for that millennial December 99 issue of a time capsule of what to remember in that century. And he chose Fanny, you know. One of the most important rock bands of all time has been buried without a trace, Fanny. They played like Mother Effers, as good as anybody else at their time. They were just ahead of their time, is what he alluded to and said. And that's what the band says, too. And I think, and some of the journalists I interviewed, too, you know, from different, you know, from Rolling Stone and other publications, New York Times, is just that they were the zeitgeist, but they were ahead of their time. And so for me, this film is so important because I'm not shy to say that I hope the film can help buoy them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where they really deserve to be. And so many of the music icons I interview in the film, from, you know, David Bowie's guitarist Earl Slick, his bassist Gail-Ann Dorsey, this Bonnie Raitt, Joe Elliott from Def Leppard, the Go-Go's, et cetera, Charles Neville, that all feel strongly that Fanny needs to have their due. They need to be rewritten in a proper way in rock and roll history for their groundbreaking impact. And, you know, and as Earl Slick says in the film trailer that anyone can, you know, Google, you know, it's always the ones that started to get effed, you know? So, and I think that's the case with Fanny. They were ahead of their time. So people weren't quite sure what to do with them, even the way they were marketed. But they played incredibly. Like I said, they were a self-formed garage band. They toured around in cars or in an old renovated bus and, you know, played gigs and, you know, gig after gig after gig every week. I mean, they put in so much time touring and honing their craft. And so it was no accident when they were at the Troubadour in L.A. and somebody from Warner was there, Warner Reprise, and, you know, the next day they were signed by Richard Perry, who is a famous record producer with the Pointer Sisters and so many others, Barbara Streisand. And they were, interestingly enough, they were, from what I hear and what I've read, when they were kind of considered a novelty often in the U.S., like, oh, this all-girl band can play, you know. But in Europe, from what I understand in fans, I mean, thousands of fans have written onto the YouTube clips that have been posted or onto the film trailer and saying how they were just a great band, especially in Europe. You get these comments like, yeah, we were just blown away by their music, you know. And so the Fanny bandmates have often said they felt that they were really embraced as, you know, serious musicians when they went to Europe. And, you know, I'm hoping that they were in the U.S. You look at a lot of the reviews were really good, but they didn't quite break through to that, you know, to being known as a household name that they should have been. And so I really hope the film helps change that. And all these live performances, I mean, I really appreciate Richard and the Ashland Film Festival. They've been so supportive of me and previous films, and they're just such champions for documentary film. I just couldn't be happier to have the film as the opening night film this week.
Bobby Joe Hart is the director of the film Fanny, The Right to Rock, featuring the band from the early 70s known as Fanny, an all-women group that really rocked hard and somehow sort of dropped through the slots and got lost in history. Back with this film, Fanny, The Right to Rock, with some other performances coming up at Science Works Hands-On Museum in Ashland. That's on Thursday night. Richard Herskowitz is with us as well, the artistic director of the Ashland Independent Film Festival. Questions, comments for our guests? Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Richard, this seems like a natural for the Ashland Independent Film Festival, the kind of, you know, rebel, rocking out, you name it. All the attributes are there, aren't they?
Yes. Well, so many reasons. Let me just also point out that Bobby Joe graduated from SOU back when it was SOC, Southern Oregon College, and we brought her a few years ago. Yeah, and we brought her back a few years ago. I discovered there was this amazing, accomplished filmmaker living in Montreal who had, started out going out to college in Ashland, and we showed her film Rebels on Point, which was a big hit in our World Film Weeks. When I saw this was coming, this was going to be the featured film in the live festival, April 2020. And, of course, that became a virtual festival. Bobby Joe decided to hold the film back because she really wanted to show it on a big screen. She's held the film back about a year, and it has just won. It won the top prize, the audience prize, at the Hot Docs Film Festival just a few weeks ago. So it's been a delayed explosion, but it's exploding now. And we're thrilled that we're giving it the opening night.
So, Bobby Joe, do you find people thinking that this is a mockumentary, that like Spinal Tap, like you made up a band?
So far, the people that have seen it, no, they haven't made that comment because before they see it, no one has asked me that. You're the first, but hey, there's a first for everything.
Sure.
But no, it's not. It is a true blue documentary. There is no mockumentary elements about this particular film.
So how is it? Do you figure that Fanny fell through the gaps or something? It just disappeared from the scene. I mean, I was listening to music in that period. I'm a big fan of Badfinger. They were also playing Midnight Special at that time. Totally missed Fanny.
You know, it's really a big mystery. I mean, you look at, the documentary, which was treated very differently, but in a sense of an untold story and a very talented artist who fell through the cracks in time, the documentary Searching for Sugar Man, mm-hmm. Which won at the Academy Awards. And Rodriguez had a huge revival after that film came out, but it's a similar thing where it just fell through the cracks. And I think part of it is, I mean, Earl Slick says something in the film, and maybe you can attest to this, or maybe that it was that way in the old days. I don't know, because I'm not on the radio side, but he said in the film, you got to pay a lot of money to get your song on the radio. And then and I know, because I have musicians, friends in the industry, some struggling to come up, some quite renowned, but that the radio play is so important. Like this, just what you're doing right now and bringing this to light is so important to help wider audiences and get to know a band. And so I think part of it was they weren't getting the radio play. They weren't perhaps the band, the Alice DeBuer says in the film that they didn't quite know how to market us. She mm-hmm. said, the fact, that some of the bandmates were queer was basically told to be kept under wraps. Their Filipino American heritage was not highlighted in one article I could find over the entire trajectory of their career, which I thought, would have been a really fascinating aspect to write about. And so many bands you get to know, a lot about their backstory. Where did they come? Where did they struggle? Where did they grow up? And you want to, like anyone, you want to connect to them on a human level, to identify with them and also identify with the songs, of course. But I think it's just they were ahead of their time. You know, I mean, the bands that followed them, like the Runaways, followed Fanny, a band formed by a man that brought bandmates together to form a band. He saw Fanny and Tim Fowler, I believe his name is, that he met Fanny bandmates. I think it was June Millington that said that he said to her, "Well, I'm going to form a band like yours, but they're gonna go out and make money, you know." And Fanny didn't write, let's say, pop songs per se. Mm-hmm. They were more really like rock and roll. And then, as you know from, you know, probably following their trajectory of their history of music, the highest, the song Butterboy that Gene Millington wrote reached 29 on the Billboard charts, but that was their last album, and the band had just broken up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they had signed over a power attorney. They were struggling financially, and, you know, so many questions. You know, the band's telling me that, you know, the first question they'd be asked in so many interviews, you know, how does it feel to be a girl playing a musical instrument?
Oh, boy. So, this is the kind of stuff they're up against. Yeah, or we're up against.
Yeah.
But back now on the scene, the movie is called Fanny, the Right to Rock, showing at the Ashland Independent Film Festival outdoors at the Science Works Hands-On Museum on Thursday night with special guest Bobby Jo Hart, who we're talking to, the director of the film, Bree Howard Darling, who was one of the drummers of the band, the Rogue Valley Symphony. All kinds of fun stuff coming up. FannyTheMovie.com, AshlandFilm.org, or just look at our website, JeffExchange.org. Thanks to Bobby Jo Hart and Richard Herskowitz for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you.
Good to have
you. Thank you.